The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Center Show, Thursday, 15th November 2007, show 131. To the Media Centre Show with tech.co.uk. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show I'll be talking to Jeff Kusab of Brush Sound. And Brush Sound have been in the whole home audio business for years and have recently started supporting Windows Media Centre. So I'll be asking how Media Centre fits in with their whole house audio range and why they've chose to support Windows Media Centre. I have email and news items. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I've got a few emails to read out this week. Okay, so to the first one from Richard. He says, "Hi, I just discovered your site and have successfully set up two Xbox 360s. It is most interesting and I've already listened to two podcasts today. I have two questions. Can I use my XP machine and Orb 2.0 together with my original Xbox? I will not be getting a Vista PC and 360 till next year. What is the software and procedure I need to get DivX movies streamed to the 360 from a Vista PC? Keep up the good work." Thanks for the email, Richard. Glad to know that you've been listening to a few shows already. You can stream from XP to an original Xbox. In fact, that's the only way to use the original Xbox as an extender is to use it with XP. So that should work. Almost all will stream to any UPnP device, but I don't think it will stream directly to the original Xbox. And the second question is, to get DivX movies onto your 360, you need a program like Transcode 360. Have a look at the link in the show notes. And that does the transcoding on your Media Center PC and then sends video over the network so that the 360 can play it. There has been a few rumours that Microsoft are looking to include DivX support in the Xbox in future, but I haven't heard nothing concrete on that. And the version 2 extenders, of course, do support that, which is great. So hopefully we'll see that in the Xbox in the future, so you won't have to use third-party software. Now, an update on refresh rates. I had a few emails on now. And this is from Simon. He says, "Hi, thanks for adding my email to your last show. Totally blown away that it was included and acted on so quickly. Thanks. I just wanted to give you a definitive list of what does and does not work regarding 50Hz. Number one, VGA. Not tried, but as you say on the show, I'm certain this runs at 60Hz due to PC monitors running at this refresh rate. 2. Component, with a switch set to standard definition, runs at 50Hz. 3. Component set to HD TV runs at 60Hz at all resolutions. And 4. HDMI runs at 60Hz with all resolutions. So the only way to get 50Hz is by running at standard definition resolution, which is interlaced, which does give a pretty decent figures, but gives you a blurry UI. Microsoft are obviously aware of the issue running 50Hz pictures at 60Hz on the 360, as a spring update allowed DVD and HD DVD playback at 50Hz. This shows it's also possible and just needs to be allowed when running as an extender. Once again, many thanks for the feedback, and I look forward to some comments from Microsoft about this. Simon." Thanks for the email, Simon, and the update. I had a little bit more of a play of this on myself. I definitely can't get 50Hz from VGA, and the only way that I'm aware of is with the components set to standard definition. So hopefully this will be something that's looked at by Microsoft, and I'll update you when I get any further information. Now, an email from Scott Yaman. "Hi, I've been listening to your show for a few months now, and just want to say I really enjoyed it. I just finished listening to your latest show on my new Zoom 30 with its new added podcast support, and I have to say I'm really enjoying that feature of it. The Media Center integration with the Zoom is okay. I would just wish the adaptability to specify which series you would like to synchronize, but perhaps it is in there and just unaware of how to do it. Did your update go okay? I have to say I was a little disappointed with how the Zoom software kind of mangled my music collection. Overall, I'm very excited that Microsoft stepped up and offered new features to those who have already purchased Zune. Thanks again for producing the show, and send my thanks to your wife as well for giving your time to put it together, Scott. Thanks for the email, Scott. It's good to know that you're enjoying the new podcast features of the Zune 30, and a little bit more on that later in the show. I've been playing around with Zune and the new software and the TV integration as well. So it's great to know that you're listening to the show on your Zune using the new podcast features. Now, final email for this week. Hi, Ian. Been using Media Center 2005 and now Vista for approximately 18 months. We have an Isham Ebox PC sat under our TV situated in the living room of the house. As the Ebox is designed to look like an AV component, it's not a major ISO as the PC tower would be. We use the Ebox for recording DVB-T, watching home movies, photographs, and listening to our MP3 CD collection. People are always highly impressed when they visit, and as such, we have converted others to the same setup. We have previously used various Freeview and satellite PVR setups, but we like the idea of having a PC included so that we can easily update and surf the web as well. There are a few things missing in Media Center, like subtitle support. My wife is hard of hearing, and we feel badly let down by this glaring omission of the feature. I'm looking forward to the FreeSat launch early next spring, and I hope Microsoft will support this for Media Center in the UK. A bit disappointed with the new extenders. I was hoping for one with a simple Ethernet, not wireless device, but alas, I continue to use my modified Xbox One in the meantime. The Xbox is sitting in the main bedroom and is used to stream music, recorded TV, etc. from the Ebox PC. I only came across the show a few months ago after I purchased an iPod Video. I enjoy the show, and even the wife will listen occasionally, so it can't be bad. Keep up the good work. From Rod Lawrence. Thanks, Rod. Great email. It's good to know that you're using Media Center and getting the most out of Media Center. And your comments there do agree with the subtitle support. I think it's a real shame that Media Center doesn't have that. And when, here in the UK, we can get a Freeview set-top box for £30 that has that feature, and your £800 Media Center box can't do it. So I think that is a definite omission, and hopefully that will come in future versions of Media Center. And when that'll be, I don't know, but hopefully it'll come soon. And the same goes with the FreeSat support. Hopefully that will get included in a future version. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I really do like reading out, so please keep sending them in. If you've not sent an email in before, get one sent in. Let me know how you're getting on with your technology. Now to a couple of news items. This week, Microsoft announced the winner of the Windows Media Center Ultimate Install Contest. This was a competition open to custom AV installers, and the winning entry, submitted by Tyler Jennings of Imperium Smart Systems LLC, was for a family looking for a solution to integrate all their pictures, music, home videos, TV and DVDs into one simple interface. So details on the winning entry on the Microsoft site, link for that in the show notes. It was a great competition, I think, to get the custom AV installers involved with the Media Center and to show some interesting solutions that they've developed. Now to a roundup on the Zune news, and I was interested in this from two angles, one as a podcaster and the other one obviously as a Media Center user. So I looked at how this relates to Windows Media Center and TV syncing content. So the first bit of news came out before the actual firmware and software update was released, was the fact that if you've got XP, you're out of luck for syncing TV content with Zune. The only way to do this is with Vista and Home Premium or Ultimate Edition, which I think is a shame. I can see why they've done it, but if you need to do that with XP, you're going to have to go through one of the third-party products. When it comes to syncing the Media Center content from Vista to Zune, it does work pretty well, and I'll come back to that in a moment. On the actual Zune news, ZuneThoughts.com had some great videos up of the new Zune user interface and the new Zune software, so have a look at the videos and link to that in the show notes. Well, so I'm impressed with the new Zune software and firmware. First of all, the Windows software is a vast improvement over the version 1 software, which is kind of a kludge version of Windows Media Player. This is a nice, slick interface, and not that far removed from Media Center. Some of the some of the thoughts behind it with the galleries, that kind of media center approach, have a look at the link in the show notes for the full review that I wrote. The actual Zune itself, the firmware has been updated, and again, that's probably just more polished than it was before. Not a huge amount of changes, but it does look nice, and you've got things like wireless syncing that improves on, you know, that makes use of the wireless functions, which really wasn't a great lot of use for before. I've yet to meet anybody with a Zune. So there's not that many around in the UK, so I've never actually used the wireless functions yet. I do like the fact they've added podcasting support into the Zune player and the Zune software. If you want to subscribe to a podcast, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can copy and paste the RSS feed for the show straight into the Zune software, and it'll automatically subscribe you then. Download the latest three shows, and you've got options about how it syncs those podcasts up and that kind of thing. So it's pretty good, actually, and it looks better than neater than iTunes, I must say. So I've moved over from Doppler and got my shows going through there. The other way is podcasters can put a sort of one-click button on the website, so it's something I've done on the digitallifestyle.com, and it just subscribes you straight through the Zune software. And one nice thing about the podcast support when you get it onto the player is that it has its own section rather than being chucked in with the rest of the music, because I was finding it a bit of a pain that your podcast would get sort of buried within your music collection. So, impressed with that. The one thing I was really interested in seeing was the recorded TV support. It works very simple. You go through to the video section in the software. You can see all your recorded TV content and video content. It kind of throws them all together, which is a bit of a shame. I think it would be nicer if you had split like how Media Center is with videos and then your recorded TV, maybe series and that kind of thing. But basically, you just right-click on the recorded TV file and do sync with Zune, and it transcodes it and sends it down to your Zune. And one of the questions I was asked this week was how long it takes, because I've tried various transcoding software before and it can take hours to get it working. So I did a real world test. I picked a movie file I recorded, and the day after tomorrow this was, recorded off TV over Freeview DVB-T, which is 704 pixels by 480. It's a 2.4 gig file, and the file was just 2.5 hours long. So like I said, I right clicked on the file, select sync, and the sync started off, and the CPU usage went up to about 90%. A file called Zuneenc.exe seemed to be taking all the processes, so that must have been the transcoding. Then just over an hour later, it was complete. This was on a P4 3 gig machine with a gig of RAM, Vista Index of 3.8. So for a 2.5 hour movie, it's just over an hour, which I don't think was too bad. If you're doing a short 30-minute show, then it's, you're looking at 10-15 minutes for the transcoding, and I don't think that's too bad, really. And once it's on the Zune player, you know, there's no problem with it at all. It plays perfectly, the good quality, some of the metadata is preserved as well. So it looks really nice. I also tried a audio-only file that I recorded off DVB-T, and that didn't seem to work. Which is a shame, because I've got quite a few radio programs recorded off over DVB-T. I'd like to get them on there. So a big improvement over the third-party applications for syncing the content. And it's a shame that you've got to kind of pre-plan what you want to take with you. You can't just, before you grab your Zune, just, you know, right-click on a few files and send them over, unless you've got a huge quad-core machine, perhaps. But it is nice that you can do it. And like it said, we've had in the email comments, it would be nice if you could say, always sync this show. So when you do a series record, you could say, okay, record this series and always sync it to my Zune. Perhaps that's coming in future, and maybe some Zune integration through Media Center rather than going through the Zune software, but we'll see. Actually, I've recorded a video of the TV syncing, and that should be up soon, either this week or next week. And my Zune tag on the Zune social site is IanTDL. So if you're on there, there's only social, feel free to add me. I do like that social aspect of it as well, so I'll be looking at that in the future. And talking of video reviews, this week I put out a video review of Tranquil's Windows Home Server, and I was really impressed with this unit. It's a very small, quiet, silent, it's fanless, headless unit. Tranquil base just down the road from my office in Manchester. And we've got an interview with Dave from Tranquil coming up on the show in a few weeks' time. Have a look at the video. You can see, you know, how neat a box it is and how small it is. And Windows Home Server is a great, great service and a great system. So I would like to see a bit more integration with Media Center, and that's something that Charlie Owen's been talking about on his blog. So have a look at the link in the show notes where he's asking about that. And finally, there's been some news from Nivius. They've introduced, or officially introduced, the Nivius Media Extender called the Edge. And as they say, it's the first Windows Media Extender designed for the custom install channel. It's ISF certified and available in time for the holidays. A link for that in the show notes. It's a nice looking extender, and it's a premium machine, and you know, it is a quite different from the D-Link and the Linksys extenders, the custom home market, so it's an expensive unit. It does look great, and hopefully we'll be able to see that in person at CES, because I'll be going to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which is next January. So I hope to look at the extenders a bit closer there. And before I go to the break, just a reminder that if you're on Facebook, you can join the Media Center Show group. Last week I gave away a copy of Squirrel Slash Unlimited to a member of the group. So if you want to join in and interact with us, you can go on there. You still can go on the forums on thedigitallifestyle.com. But it'd be nice to see you up on the Facebook group. So I'm going to take a break and a message from One Voice, and I'll be back with Jeff.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit, allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
So Jeff, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thank you, Ian.
We're going to be talking today about Rust Sound and the whole home audio and multi-zoom audio and all that kind of thing that you do. And I've been looking through the product catalogue, and there's a huge array of products that you do around audio and distributed audio and distributed video around the home. So if we could first start with a sort of a background on the company and where these products have come from.
Well, certainly. And well, Rust Sound, actually, we're celebrating our 40th year in business this year. And as you mentioned, we have quite a deep catalog, and that catalog actually reaches back to, although not some of the exact models, some similar products that the company was founded on 40 years ago. The company's always been focused on helping the audio enthusiast gain access to his or her music and now audio and video content more readily throughout their home. We originally started out back in the days when, you know, there were things like called tape monitor loops on audio receivers, and for the enthusiast that needed some more input and output capacity, the company started by manufacturing switching devices that patched into a tape loop and expanded that one tape loop to as many as three or four inputs. We still have products like that in our range, and we also initiated or launched some products that were designed to expand the speaker output capability of single stereo amplifiers so that one could route the speaker wire around the house and play back music in additional rooms off of a single AV or stereo receiver at the time. And then that followed with simple volume controls, and then as infrared remote control became more important, we moved into that space. And then kind of jumping forward to the most recent decade, we've advanced into an area that's referred to as multi-zone, multi-source, or whole house audio-video distribution and control.
The company must have seen a massive change then in how in the equipment over the years, from 40 years. But I guess the concept's the same, is that people want to kind of centralize their audio and then distribute that around the home.
Absolutely, yes. We liken it to any other kind of mechanical service that you might have in a home, whether it's switching on your lights or your plumbing system or central heating. It's that whole concept of having, kind of integrated distribution of a service, in this case media services, in your home that make it readily accessible. In the case of audio video, it becomes a bit more of a challenge because you have this very wide and disparate range of sources, if you will, or delivery means of content, which over the years, as we started to progress into the digital era, with things like CD players, we started seeing CD changers coming about, and then CD library management, and then that moved into hard drive-based media servers, and now we're seeing it evolve further into this whole concept of media center PCs.
Mm. I mean, in some respects, then I guess that what the technology is enabling you to do now is just to simplify everything, and you've got the different rooms and different zones and have different signals, but I guess everything is similar to the initial vision of spreading the content around.
Yes, it's changed quite a bit. I mean, going back to our beginning, but at that time, people were perhaps had a phonograph and access to AM or FM radio and maybe one or two selections of some form of analog tape device, and that were all kind of aggregated through that audio receiver, and then companies like Russon made it possible to distribute that out through the house. Now, and you move forward four decades, and now we still have those sources of content available to the end user, and many of our customers still use those sources of content. But now we have this, in addition, this whole plethora of new sources of content from all kinds of disparate points, if you will. We've got satellite-based radio, in Europe we have DAB. We have internet-based radio. We have now internet-based music services. Looking to the video side, you have internet-based video delivery coming from various points across the web, as well as DVD players and that whole collection of video sources. So for the everyday person who oftentimes now is no longer an enthusiast, if you will, or involved from a technical hobbyist perspective like it was when we first started out, the big challenge for them and for companies like ours is to make all that content manageable and readily accessible. From our perspective, it really shouldn't matter where you choose to get where the content comes from. It should just simply be readily accessible to the user.
Yeah, so no matter where the content is, be it internet or a tape player or an audio file on a server, whatever, it doesn't matter, as long as it's accessible for wherever you decide you want it to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, so, starting with the sort of the core of the system, prior to let's talk about the media center element, which is of course is going to be what the listeners are most interested in. So if you're a media center user and you've got content on media center, how does that fit into the picture?
Well, at the very basic level, many people turn to media centers to now serve as that media file storage and serving device, right? Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years ago, we saw the advent of very focused hard drive based music file servers. Emerge is a good example of that. Russon, we developed our own platform internally. to serve those kinds of functions. And those devices were created to, you know, transfer music files into them via various means, and then store and manage those music files, and then output them in an analog form. We also saw many of those devices also storing photographic image files, and the technology, of course, would allow for the storage of video files as well. But we have a lot of limitations there as it relates to digital rights management and such. One function, if you will, of Media Center PCs is to continue to serve as that media storage and serving device. And now, because of internet-based video, things like YouTube and such, you know, we're seeing more video content being delivered to and through this media server function in Media Center Edition PCs as well. Then the other piece that's a big component of it, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are aware, is that Media Center PCs can serve as that surround sound decoder. So the device starts to play a role in the home theater space as well. So now we've got this kind of aggregation of media server and a good deal of the functionality of the traditional AV receiver embedded in it. And then these Media Center PCs also can serve as over-the-air or cable delivery tuning devices, if you will. Products like the ones we're bringing to market have terrestrial television tuners on board and terrestrial radio tuners on board, and then because of the internet access, it can serve as your access point for internet-based entertainment like internet radio and things like that as well.
So that you're using then your media center PC or your media center device. I mean, people always don't like calling them PCs because they're really like a server now. A media center server has been the source for all your content coming in, and then you can use your other equipment to distribute that around the home.
That's correct, yes. But for us, for us, this functionality of Media Center Editions of that surround sound processing component brings a new component to our catalog, in that we hadn't been actively involved in the home theater or surround sound space, and now that it moves us into a new category. Additionally, there's another bit of functionality here, which is the Media Center Edition has a fair amount of functionality embedded in it to support whole home control, or what we refer to often as system integration functions, so that now you can also use this as a home control center as well.
Right, so what kind of things you can control that? You mean like home automation devices?
Yes. So you can control things like control and integrate the functions of multiple subsystems like lighting, heating and cooling, security, closed circuit camera functionality, managing the things that are energy consumers like pools and spas and those kinds of things as well.
And of course, then you're managing that through the TV, through the Media Center box.
Yeah, and then we and others are bringing into the market all kinds of peripheral devices so that you can expand that user interface or the access to that Media Center user interface through other devices like touchscreens and handheld remotes, or even transferring it into things that you normally carry with you, like web-based telephone or internet-connected PDA, those kinds of things. to extend that user interface across a broad range of user interface devices.
So this device that you're talking about now, this is a RustSound manufactured media center server then?
Yeah. Actually, we're introducing a range of 6 models. We expect to be start shipping them into the market by the end of this November, so we've got a couple of months. And it's the range is defined by variations in storage capacity and onboard RAM and processor speed.
So is this RustSound's sort of first venture into the Windows platform area?
Yes, it is. And it's a very exciting time for us.
And do you think that it's really the fact that the sort of the stability and the sort of matureness of the media center platform now means it's a good time to get into that, because I guess previous versions have been less stable, and the kind of market that you're in is you'd need that stable, reliable platform.
Well, absolutely. For a company like RustSound with a heritage such as ours, one of the things that we can't afford to compromise is our relationship our relationship with our dealers and our customers, and that's heavily predicated on our history of high quality products, product reliability, and strong service support. And so we made this decision to move into the Media Center PC business was a long considered decision, and your point is absolutely right. This latest spin now, the Vista-based Media Center Edition, really finally made it a product category that RustSound could put its brand on with confidence.
Like you said, you need that stability and reliability, and Media Center, the Vista Media Center can perform that. I mean, I've been using mine, and since going on to Vista, it's been performed really well. In fact, well, the XP version did, but Media Center on Vista now is much more solid platform than it was previously. And I think it's great that a company like you are introducing a Media Center that shows some sort of faith in the brand.
Yeah, we're looking forward to really a strong business with this in this product category. We believe that its time has come.
And then the peripheral devices that you make, and I was going through the catalog, and there's a whole range of things, like you mentioned, control panels and speakers and different remote controls. Do they all integrate back with this line as well?
Well, we're kind of coming at it from both ends, if you will. The simple answer is yes. Media Center relies on can be controlled via infrared, so a lot of our infrared-based control systems can interact directly with it. As a matter of fact, one of the means by which we became very actively engaged in research with regards to Media Center is that in earlier versions, we found that many of our dealers who were exploring Media Center were finding themselves interfacing with some of our more advanced audio-video distribution and amplification devices to extend the reach of that media server component of it out into other rooms in the house. So it's very common for MCE PCs to be interfaced with a multi-zone audio system like our CAV 6.6 as an example.
So now that you're providing this sort of connection between the two worlds, effectively you've got the Media Center world and you've got your existing sort of product range, and you're joining those
right
together.
Yeah, but you'll see that I believe we'll start to evolve the whole digital convergence side of the equation, so that it becomes more and more the center or the hub or the distribution point, if you will, for multi-room systems. So right now we're going in a transitionary mode where we're integrating this highly evolved digital PC-based platform with these tried and true analog based platforms. And, you know, we're companies like ourselves are finding ourselves essentially creating bridges of sorts in order to connect these two worlds. And looking forward, you know, we see our business migrating more and more towards that, pure digital play, if you will.
Yeah, because I guess there's a kind of transition from the analog world of having a centralized audio distribution system going down speaker cables to now where things have sort of been more network and IP based,
right.
and how you do that, how you join those worlds, and how then you distribute your audio via IP.
Exactly. And then, you know, and then I think in the not too distant future, as a matter of fact, I think we're even starting to see it now with Microsoft's new focus on the home server category. The next question we'll be dealing with is just one of this highly kind of monolithic centralized architecture of media centers and extenders, and or will the architecture become one that's more of a kind of a distributed intelligence across the network kind of architecture.
Mm. And I guess things like you mentioned about extenders there and the version 2 extenders that are coming out that are going to be are going to mean that you've got more devices connected to the media center box, so again it becomes more of a server than it does a client machine.
Exactly.
And I suppose it's how then you can then distribute that around with like audio control panels and those kind of things as well.
Right. You know, I think there's a strong possibility that all of this functionality that we currently see centralized within that very big kind of powerful media center computer, I think it'll likely be viewed as kind of a natural step for those functionalities to be kind of split apart and spread out across the network.
Yeah, so you've got the boxes providing the interface, boxes capturing the data from the internet, and boxes for storage, and distributing it around the different areas.
Right.
And just for anyone who's not familiar with Rusan, what's the sort of the distribution policy in terms of, you know, if people are looking to get hold of the equipment? Is it a dealer network, or is it something they go through directly for your website?
All of our products are designed to be professionally installed, so we work through a network of authorized dealers. And I think it's important to note also that our initial launch of our media center products will be limited to North America, likely for the first 6 to 10 months, until we can get there's a fair amount of licensing work and such that needs to be accomplished in order to, you know, reach out into other international markets for us.
At least you're considering the other international markets as well, because a lot of the time we see some great products outside of the US, and we see, you know, that we see them for sale in the US, and you know they're not coming over to Europe yet or other areas. So at least it's something that's being considered.
Yeah, we're certainly working towards that in our conversations with Microsoft and our other partners, and it's our intent to extend these products into the other markets that we sell into. It's just it's a brand new product category for us, so we want to take it cautiously and expand the reach of our distribution channels in a very controlled manner. And as I said, it also takes a little bit. There's still a bit more work to be done on issues related to licensing and things before we can start to reach overseas for us.
Yeah, and like you said, these are going to be sort of dealer installations. So, do you think then a lot of these installations, these devices are not going to be seen as a PC and probably, you know, very rarely see a Windows desktop, and they are going to be a media center device and in the 10-foot interface?
Well, yeah, that's very much, that's our intent. We didn't enter into this category to create machines that support office functionality and that kind of thing. Our total focus is on media and home control, and know, the configuration of the operating system, that boot up will reflect that.
I think it's very, very important, and I think more and more people coming around to that view that the more of a dedicated media center of PCs and the less of a general PC is, the more stable the platform's going to be for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, the only time I ever get crash recordings on my machine is when I'm messing with it, so I know that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all those outside influences that come in when you're sharing files, you know, across the internet that typically gets you into trouble.
Yeah. And I guess this is also the benefit of being on the Media Center platform is you can start to look at third-party applications and see how that integrates, so you can start to offer things like you know, internet news and things like that that you couldn't possibly have offered before.
Right, exactly. And, you know, that's the other side of this whole conversation. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, how the world of media is literally exploding and how that presents challenges for so many people in terms of just being able to locate and access that media. Whereas on the other side, tools like Media Center Edition, you know, start to make it very much simpler to do so. I mean, the whole world of creating things like little widgets and things that give you direct access to things that are of interest or importance to you, without having to worry about, you know, finding a URL and pointing your browser to it, it's quite a boon for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I guess and also with the software development kit being available, so your guys can look at the adding some, you know, additional components that are software based to your platform that sort of differentiates it from other sellers.
Yeah, we've over the last several years we've built a very strong relationship with a U.S. based company called Exceptional Innovations, which has been focused on developing essentially what is a middleware platform that runs on top of Media Center Edition to extend its functionality with a particular focus on enhancing the media management and home automation components of Media Center Edition. So we, you know, all of our Media Center Edition boxes, we prefer to call them smart media consoles to kind of focus on differentiating it from the average PC. So all of our smart media consoles will come with a bundle of Exceptional Innovations Lifeware on board.
Which Lifeware we had on the show just a few weeks ago, Mike Siemens, and I was impressed with the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah, we're very pleased to have a very, very strong alliance with Lifeware. That again was one of the pieces of the puzzle that made it compelling for Rustone to get into this product category.
And it kind of enables you to offer a wide range of products from the analog audio way right the way up to sort of internet TV content. You know, you can offer the whole lot by using the combination of your existing platform and Media Center.
Exactly. Yes.
And when did you say that these units are starting to come to market?
We expect to begin shipping them right at the close of November, early December of this year.
And the way for people to find out more information is to contact their dealer.
Yes, absolutely. And if they can't find a dealer in their area, we have a dealer locator on our website, which is www.rustone.com.
And we mentioned briefly about the sort of non-US regions. Do you have dealers outside of the US?
Yes, we do. We have distribution in, I think it's about 52 countries right now. It's outside of the U.S. We have a very strong market in Europe.
And again, we can find that information on the website.
Indeed, yeah.
Well, I think it's great to see a company like Rust Sound coming to Media Center, because I think it validates the platform and it shows that it can sort of scale up from the small PC laptop enthusiast all the way up to a complete multi-room, multi-zone integration system. So I think it's really good to see, and I think that the products are going to look really great. So I'm looking forward to seeing those. Are you going to be showing those off at CES next year?
It's on our plan for showing at CES again this year. Yes, yeah. And you know, we're really excited and enthused about the opportunities that Media Center brings to companies like Russ.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and I think from a community point of view, you know, we're glad to see a company like Rust Sound sort of joining in and getting on board.
Well, we're pleased to be part of the community.
Well, many thanks for your time today. I know you're a busy guy, and I do appreciate you taking the time to come on the show to tell us about the servers.
Well, I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and share with your listeners what we're doing at Rust Sound. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Jeff. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and don't forget the forums. And also I've got some nice new URLs for Media Center content. So we've got podcast.thedigitallifestyle.com, which takes you directly to the podcast feed. We've got videos.thedigitallifestyle.com, which takes you directly to the videos. Blogs.thedigitallifestyle.com takes you directly to the blogs. What else have we got? Forums, so forums.thedigitallifestyle.com, developer.thedigitallifestyle.com, and if I do some live video shows via Ustream, you can go on to that via live.thedigitallifestyle.com. So if you can think of any other shortcuts you should set up, let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Thanks for listening to the show, I do appreciate it. Look out for the Zoom video, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you.